Unleash your inner happiness and strengthen your identity in Christ.
I'm Kelly Jean Pittman, and this is my amazing daughter, Jaina. We're a mom and daughter duo who unapologetically focus on living a Christ-centered life. Through biblical teachings and the latest research on brain health, we'll share solutions and inspiration.
From strengthening family relationships to overcoming daily emotional and spiritual battles, you'll grow spiritually and emotionally as you discover God's immense peace.
By putting God first, we'll help you to faithfully and unapologetically share the truth of Christ with those around you.
And if you want to learn more about our journey in following Christ and breaking free from anxious thoughts, check out my mom's book, Unleashing Happiness. It is now available on Amazon.
We're honored to share this time with you and pray that the Lord reveal His beauty in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, beautiful souls.
Welcome back, guys.
Welcome to Faithfully Unapologetic. And we are talking today about something that I think everybody in the whole entire world has experienced at some point in time.
You know what? I can guarantee, I think with 100% accuracy, say that everyone has experienced this sometime in their life.
And then I think sometimes we think that this is new to us as a culture, but going back into biblical times, actually God talks about it a lot. Yep. So it's not new, so I think that's important for us to remember. And we're talking about
anxiety.
Womp
womp, you know. It has plagued society forever, but I think especially now it's really, really prominent. And, you know, as someone who has experienced anxiety with 100% of everyone else on this planet, it sucks. Absolutely doesn't feel great.
It is. It's really tough. And today we're talking about how we can learn how to release our anxiety into God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's easier said than done. But yeah. This is a very important principle that I think is the key to moving out of that fear and that anxious place.
Yeah. And we hope that we can shed some light and give you guys some hope into that life doesn't have to be plagued with anxiety, and that there is actually a way that you can move out of it.
Absolutely. And it may be seen as a current part of a culture, and I think to some degree it's being normalized, like we're not going to be able to move out of it, and it feels like there's nothing we can do about it on our own.
Yeah.
And I've been there. We've all been there. In fact, it's why I wrote my book, Unleashing Happiness, How I Help Free My Child from Anxious Thoughts, because once you get stuck into that thinking, it kind of feels like that's it.
There's honestly, nothing more to life. You just spiral down.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten so wrapped in it where I think, oh my goodness, I'm going to be here forever. It's just part of my life. It's part of who I am, and I'm just going to have to buckle down and deal with it. And
right, and that's
no way of living.
No, and that's not who you really are. That was most important. It's like, that's not who God calls us to be. That's most important, right? That is not our identity in Christ.
Yeah.
It's not to be anxious.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why we want to make this, too, is it's why. Why are we talking about this? God doesn't call us to be anxious.
No, He doesn't call us to be fearful.
No.
And so, and there's lots of different layers to anxiety, and I talk about many of them in my book, but we want to really focus on this podcast, the God piece of it.
Yeah. I mean, like we were talking about before, you were saying that God made man, and man made anxiety.
Yes, that's my quote. Yeah. Most people don't like my quote when I say it, but it's true. God didn't really create anxiety.
No.
That's kind of a man thing. But God's not surprised by anxiety. He knew it all along. He designed us. He knows, you know, that that's a part of who we are and how we function when we're apart from Him in this physical world.
Yeah.
But
and the enemy likes to use whatever he can to manipulate and tear us away from God.
Right.
And anxiety is a pretty great tool of his
Yes.
To make us feel even more separated from God.
Right. Because it pulls us away from God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And it instills fear.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's absolutely dark. That's darkness. There is no light in this. And I like how you referred to the light of God. I can't remember how you worded it when we were talking earlier. But God is light, and when you give him your anxiety and focus on him, he lightens your load. You feel light.
Yeah.
But the enemy is darkness, mm-hmm. and when you tumble into his hands, into his arms, the enemy, it's dark. It's overwhelming. It's a very fearful place. Yeah. It feels like you have no strength and you have no power.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the biggest things that Satan likes to use is making us feel like we're alone.
Yes.
And that is so terrible because everyone struggles with this and no man is an island. And when we are together in God and we can give it to God.
Right.
Like you said, or like I guess I was talking about before, when we give that to God and we put it into his light, he's able to comfort us and remind us that we're not supposed to be anxious, that this thing that we're dealing with right now is it's temporary. It's a temporary suffering or temporary struggle that we're going through, and that there's nothing in this world, nothing that can separate us from God, right. and that our suffering here is nothing compared to the glory that we'll experience in heaven.
Right, with him when we're one, and that's what I think God is like lovingly looking down upon mm-hmm. us, and he knows we're one. He knows that he's in us and we're a part of him. He knows that we are never alone.
Yeah.
But he understands, because he created us as humans in this physical world, how we feel that apartness. And I think since our innate being, our soul, knows instinctively we're one and we're together and we're not lonely. But I think our mind in the physical world looks around and panics and says, wait, you know, it's like, I'm all alone.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean, kind of like you were talking about before, though, it's so part of our current culture, and it's very prominent. Everyone struggles with it. I mean, in psychology, my psychology professor was talking about how teens and young adults, like my age, we have enough anxiety that it would put us into a psych ward, a psych facility, back in, like, I think she said the 1950s. That's a whole lot of anxiety.
That's a whole lot of anxiety.
Just for the average young adult.
So, right, if you're feeling you're bearing this weight, and it's important why, you know, I wrote my book and why we're mm-hmm. talking about this, because this has intensified. It's like, yes, there's been anxiety all along, mm-hmm. but there's so many things in our environment that also overstimulate the stress response. And we're going to touch on that just a little bit.
Yeah.
But we wanted to bring in a Bible verse, though, right away.
The first one is Philippians 4:6-7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Now that is a mouthful, but there's so many beautiful little segments in that verse.
I mean,
that verse is so powerful. It's like, number one, don't be anxious about anything. So it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a test score or somebody dying or disease or war. God says anything.
Yeah.
Don't be worried about anything.
But in everything, bring it to him in prayer and with thanksgiving. And obviously, you know, there are bigger anxieties in this world. And you had mentioned, you know, death or war. And those are really, really scary things. And our hearts go out to people who are in those situations right now.
Right.
But also knowing that our God is so much better and greater than those things, that he's already conquered those, is so empowering. And that's why Jesus tells us not to be anxious.
Right. And to bring it to him. Give it to him. He knows it's a burden in the physical world. But mm-hmm. he wants you to give it to him.
Yeah.
In prayer. That communication with him. Ask for what we want and need. But also be thankful, because we know where we're going when we believe in Jesus Christ and he's our Lord and Savior. We have eternity with him. We're all going to reside with him in heaven, right? When we leave this physical place. So we know this, and we have so many other things to be thankful for, but that's the greatest thing.
Yeah, and as we were talking about before, the darkness and light piece, like when you bring it into the light, when you bring your anxieties and your worries into the light, I think that's, you know, part of the guarding your hearts. Because if you're bringing it to the light, there's no room for the enemy to kind of take that and run with it, but rather you're giving it to God, and he's giving you his grace and his comfort, and you're guarding your heart so you don't spiral into even more anxiety. And so I really love that part.
Yeah, that's so beautifully put, because I think it also goes with make your requests known, right? So it's not keeping it in the dark. It's not hiding your emotions. It's not hiding your fear. It's not stuffing them or ignoring them or doing something else. And, you know, trying to block all of this to, like, it's like, bring it to God and show it to him. Take that darkness, shine the light on it. Yeah. That's really what we need to do. And it's not what we're taught to do in our culture. But really, it's like, shove off those uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah.
Don't feel them. Don't express them, because nobody else around you wants to feel them either.
Yeah. Which actually kind of leads us to the second verse.
And that is from Peter, 1 Peter, and it's chapter 5, and it's verse 6 through 7. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. So at the right time, he will take them all.
Yeah.
And even, you know, it brings us back. We were watching The Chosen last night with little John, and he wanted the healing, right? But, and God's like, when he left Jesus, before he left him, he's like, you will be healed at the right time.
Yeah.
Only God will call that time. So whether it's here on earth or up in heaven, he will be leaping and he won't be lame or crippled anymore. And I think with this anxiety piece, it's like God will take it. He will take it at some time. Absolutely. Give it to him.
Yeah. And kind of going back to the humbling yourselves part, like we were talking about, you know, our society is telling us, don't talk about it. Just stuff it away. Don't take a pill. Yeah. But it's also that part of kind of talking about it and exposing it and giving it to God is humbling yourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, God, I can't do this by myself. I don't want to do this by myself.
Yes. And so
it's like the juxtaposition between humbling yourselves, but also God lifting you up, because you're being lifted up in his glory, because you're humbling yourself, being like, hey, God, I can't do this by myself, and I don't want to do it by myself.
I think that's a key piece in this, is admitting to God, like, hey, I mean, God is just waiting with open arms. It's like, yes, child, I am here. Yes, give them to me. Mm-hmm. Tell me all your worries. It's like, I'll take them from you. And the very last line, because he cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get much more beautiful than that.
No.
And then one of my favorite and all-time verses, we're going to throw out another verse here because it just ties in with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful. It's just, we need to remember this at all times. And it's John 14, verse 27. And it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. And this is like so key, because God knew we weren't going to find peace in this world. He knows that. It's only found in him. So not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
Plain and simple. No.
I mean, God does not want us to fear. And he says it so many times in the Bible that we should not fear. So God knows that that's a part of human nature. He created us. And it's like, he almost can't say it enough. It's like, do not fear. I'm with you. Always.
Mm-hmm. And it's the part that's really key is not as the world gives. And there's temporary, quote unquote, peace where you might, you know, you might feel calm because of a external force coming in and like giving you that peace or whatever.
Right.
But the peace that God gives is eternal, or this is from him and is internal.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It just comes from him.
Yes. And I don't think there's any words to describe that internal peace, really, because it does come from him and it's not dependent upon your circumstances. So it doesn't matter what's happening in the people around you. It doesn't matter who rejects you, who doesn't love you, you know, the bad things. It's an internal peace from God that shows up when you open up your heart to him and give him your everything, including all your worries. I think that's even most important, really, to give him all your worries. And so I have a new book out called Unleashing Happiness, and anxiety is important, so important. So important, I guess, in the misunderstanding of anxiety, that I devoted an entire chapter to just myths about anxiety. Because as I started to learn about normal development, trauma, and our stress response, and how our beautiful and amazing brain that God designed you know, handles different events around us, particularly ones that are distressing and that cause anxiety. I learned so much about the brain and so much of how, when we know this information, God's amazing design, that we can create change in our life and actually move out of these anxious thoughts. But what I also learned is that anxiety can show up in our physical body with an overstimulated stress response, and it's not always stuff that's necessarily stuck in our minds, but it's also things that affect our physical body.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of ways that we can minimize anxiety by just understanding these things. And this podcast isn't really about this, but we're just going to mention a couple of them because they've been really powerful in our life. And I know they've been scientifically proven to minimize anxiety, to lessen it, to make you more resilient in your life, make your brain more resilient. All these things will make your brain more resilient so that you can move out of these anxious thoughts. And the first thing are the things that we eat. And, you know, when I first learned this, I kind of resisted it. And I thought, you know, God designed food and we, you know, we should be able to eat whatever we want.
God did design food, but man added to it.
Right. It's like a lot of the food we're eating isn't really God designed food. It's man created food from chemicals that they created.
And some of those things are gluten, caffeine, sugar. I mean, even looking at gluten, I've been gluten free for a while, but it's the way that wheat is processed in the U.S. is so bad. It's icky for the body. It creates holes in the stomach, and it's not good.
Yeah, it's scientifically proven to affect the brain in such a way that it can actually increase anxiety. So, and it does so many other things. It slows the blood flow to the prefrontal cortex, which is the thinking part of the brain. So it gives you like fuzzy brain, kind of ADHD symptoms. This is all scientifically proven, and there's a whole host of things, and we're not going to get into it, that science has determined what gluten can do. But it's definitely linked with anxiety. And I know so many people who tell me that they physically feel calm after going off of gluten. And I know you were one of them, which I think is a huge testament for a teen at that age to say, hey, you know what? I feel so much better. I don't want to eat it because it's everywhere and it's hard to do that. So that was amazing. And so, and caffeine, you know, hey, that gives you the jitters. That can give people the jitters.
It makes my heart race, which gives me anxiety, so.
And and that's a symptom of anxiety, the heart racing.
The heart race, yeah.
But people get that buzz, but you can get too much of a buzz, you know, and they're just like, I can't calm down. That's like an underlying anxiety buzz. I don't drink caffeine. I don't get the buzz, you know. Sometimes maybe, actually I have enough energy. My brain's pretty fast. But it does make my stomach feel ugh, so I just avoid it because too much like coffee can
I get like make me really shaky.
Yeah.
I don't that, it if I feel physically sick. I can't do caffeine.
I did a test once because I don't get shaky, and I had a friend back when I was about your age, maybe in my 20s, 30s, they're like, I don't believe you. I want you to drink 3 cups of coffee, then you're gonna, I want to see if your hands are shaky. There's no way you are not going to respond. I drank 3 cups of coffee. I wasn't shaky, but I did feel yuck in my stomach. And I won the bet.
That's all that matters.
But it does affect every, you know, everything affects everybody differently. But again, it's scientifically proven. It's a stimulant. So it can like jazz up your system.
Yeah.
And then there's sugar. And sugar's got, it's another whole complex scenario where it boosts the serotonin. It feels good. And it gives you kind of this happy high.
But then you crash.
And it crashes your blood sugars. And there's so many different things. And the worst thing about that is it creates an addiction cycle. Because then you feel miserable, then you feel depressed, and then all of a sudden you're craving for more and you're hungry, and then you want to eat more sugar and more carbs, and then you go through this vicious cycle, and it's totally linked with depression. So a whole nother topic, but what we put in our body basically does matter.
It does actually matter.
And with anxiety too. So that's number one. And then eliminating toxins in the environment, everything that makes your body more vulnerable and overstresses the central nervous system is a form of anxiety. It makes you less resilient. So you want to clean up that, like toxins in the air, toxins in your food.
I mean, your water, you know, water purification.
That's a beautiful one you want to get under control. Make sure you have filtering systems. And with the personal care products, actually.
Like lotion.
Because even when it's irritated, like I was using mascara and my whole eye was like itching and inflamed, and I think it had wheat in it, but that's an irritant. That causes anxiety. And then I can't wear makeup, which causes more anxiety. And then
just a whole cycle.
And it's a whole cycle. There's different forms of anxiety mm-hmm. that can get wrapped up in here.
Yeah.
And then this one's huge. I devote a whole chapter in my book to this as mm-hmm. well. And this is screen use. And it really doesn't even matter what screen, but just now scientific research says that screens overstimulate the stress response. They can cause anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, I can feel just kind of, ugh, afterwards. Or just more zony.
Yes, absolutely. Or that I felt like an underlying buzz if I'm working too much on things mm-hmm. and I'm on my phone and I'm, you know, I'm doing posts, social media, working mm-hmm. on all my stuff. And it's like, all of a sudden it's just like, ugh, I just like almost feel like I had caffeine, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't get the buzz, but I would imagine it's kind of an underlying buzz, yeah. and I just want to whip my phone across the room and my computers and just, like, just leave me alone.
Yeah. That's, like, one of a bajillion reasons why I want to throw my phone across the room, but yes.
Right. So, screens, huge, huge. We're not going into details of that, but there's research out there that absolutely supports it. Just overstimulates,
you know,
the stress response.
Limit it.
Anxiety.
Yeah. Which actually goes right into our fourth one, which is get 7 to 10 hours of sleep, and screens will affect those 7 to 10 hours.
Absolutely. I've had so many people. I'm a brain training specialist. I work with neurofeedback. I have so many clients mm-hmm. trying to improve their sleep. Every single client that can't sleep and has insomnia is on their phone all night long.
Yep.
And they refuse to give it up.
Yep.
So it's very addicting.
Yep.
The biggest problem with screens is that they're addicting.
Yeah.
So, but God designed a beautiful way to, like, have our brain rejuvenate itself and, like, recharge itself.
And that's sleep.
Sleep every single day. You take that away and your brain's going to have some problems.
Oh, yeah. I get a little loopy. There's a lot of things that happen, but it's just not good. And I know people, especially in college, oh my goodness, the freshmen are the worst at this, but like staying up and
all night away from home. Woohoo! I've got freedom.
Mm-hmm. But I know some people, you know, older that just still stay up, and I don't understand how your body can get that. Not much sleep. I don't know how that works.
Well, what I tell my clients, like, I have moms who like multitask and stay up till 1 or 2 and get up at 6, and I'm like, you are paying a price. You will pay a price. And they look at me with big eyes in panic. It's like, really? It's like, yes, your body needs sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can only function for so long, but everybody's body is gonna affect them differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, hey, I'm gonna like break out in hives or like,
yeah,
and then I'll lose my mind the next day or, like, not be
well,
like...
Well, you might. Who knows?
I mean, I don't know. It affects the body in so many different ways, and
mm-hmm.
it can manifest in illness.
Stress
is the main factor in any kind of illness, they
mm-hmm.
say right now. Modern science is saying, modern research,
mm-hmm.
the new all doctors within the health realm and normal realm, it's like stress is the number one precursor to any type of disease.
That makes sense.
So, get your sleep.
Yes.
But now we're moving on to... How to supercharge anxiety relief. Woohoo.
With God. Because
with God,
you can do a lot of things.
Answer.
You can do a lot of things, but without God, I don't think you can find true peace.
No, I don't think you get to that peace that is unexplainable. Like this joy that's just
yeah.
inside of you that, like, we've been in some dark, dark places and life-threatening places where only with God have we been able to find peace to hang on and praise him and thank
mm-hmm.
him when it looks like everything is going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that is that peace from God. And that is anxiety relief. I mean, not knowing whether somebody's going to live or not is a huge anxiety.
Yeah.
So finding that peace within that, I mean, this is how we know that God is real. God is the supercharge.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
so,
God tells us in the Bible how to let go of anxiety, and we just need to go back to the Bible basics.
Amen. Amen. Yes, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's go back to
the basics.
If
you look at his first commandment in Mark 12:30, it's not the first, but it is the greatest command. It is the first, isn't it?
Yep, it's
it
the,
is
first.
The first.
It's the greatest. It is the. So
it's
just
the command.
Focus on this. If
yes.
nothing else in all of Jesus' teachings, this is the most important.
Because everything will root out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's probably like one of the most common verses that you'll ever hear. But holy moly, it's the most important, and it's going to guide you in everything, and it's going to give you peace, and it's going to free you from your anxiety. Because honestly, when you're having anxiety, it's like self-focused. Oh my goodness, what is happening with me? What am I concerned about? Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, there are stressors in our life that are really big, and like, you know, someone that's really sick that we love, or just, you know, financial stress, and that's really heavy, and we feel compassion for that.
Right. And it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody. So we're not saying, you know,
there's no judgment. Yeah.
In this world, you will have trouble, James. That's absolutely, God knows this. And trouble, you know, there's various forms of trouble, and trouble is, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Typically, either way.
But generally, like, when we're having our day-to-day anxieties and struggles, it's focused on ourselves. And, oh my goodness, what's going on with me?
It's like,
it's all about me.
Right. I'm not good enough. I don't have any friends. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes me. I can't afford to go on vacation like that. I'm not going to get this done. I can't do that. I'm going to fail. My husband's going to divorce me. You know, it's like, it's just, you just go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But the common denominator in that, it's probably I with anxiety. That it's that focus. It's that cycling. It's like, I think it's exactly why God said, hey, focus on me.
Yep.
Because we get stuck in our head, and we're going only one place, and that's down. We could kind of get inflated with our ego and go up, but it's going to go down pretty quick.
Eventually it's going to, But I think there's pride in when we have anxiety, because it's like, oh, you know, I can handle this by myself. I can do this by myself. And then, you know, you get yourself so riled up.
It's a trapping.
Then you feel anxiety. That's why you have anxiety, is because you've convinced yourself in your head that you can deal with this by yourself when you really can't. And so when we're focusing on the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, there's no room to even ruminate on our own anxiety or our own pride.
Yeah, I think that's a great way how you have explained it. Because if I think right now, and even like with the publishing of my book, there's so many moving pieces. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. There's not enough time in the day. And I was so overwhelmed, and anxiety was kind of like eating into me. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I got distracted. I'm not thinking about God. I'm not putting him first. It's like, I have all these things to do, and I have to get them done, and nobody understands. And it's like, I don't even have time. It's like, you guys have to cook and clean and do all this stuff because I don't even have time to do it, and you don't understand. And then I'm not sleeping because I, you know, I have all this anxiety, but where's my brain? And it's focusing on me and what I need to get done and what I can't do. And that, and not really until I pulled away and said, whoa, okay, God, you're in charge. I give this to you. Show me what to do next. It's like, whew, I diffused.
Yeah. Like, you're giving it to God, focusing on him with all your, with your everything.
Yeah. And I let go of my I, me. I have to do, you know, it's like, I have to. You don't understand all this. It's like, God does understand what is going on. So, yes. I like how you worded that, because that's really how it is. It's like, and then it's like, whew, I can take a deep breath. I can relax. My whole body just like has to discharge.
Yeah. Sorry, our dog in the back is just going crazy. We don't really know what's going on.
Yeah. But hopefully nobody's trying to break in the house. Yeah. Dear God, take hold of that right now and just get rid of whatever is happening.
But there is a second part to this command. You know,
yes,
like a two-part commandment.
Yes, it's right the next sentence. If you're reading the verse, we go from Mark 12:30 to Mark 12:31.
And it says, this is the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, there is no greater commandment than these.
Boom. So it pretty much really then that I piece statement and anxiety.
Yeah. There's no I in either of these commands, is there?
No, there's there not. Is God. And I'm going to let you in on a little clue too. So listen up with all the self-love, love yourself stuff. The quickest way to self-love, the only way to true self-love, is putting God first and loving him, because you are a piece of him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't create your own identity without him.
So
love God first and foremost. Yeah. Self-love will follow, and then you can love your neighbor.
Yep.
And, right, as you said, there's There's no I. There's no, like, I have to get my book stuff done. Mm-hmm. I have to do this. It's like, wait a second. It's God. What does God want me to do?
Yeah.
So that's really what I'm trying to focus. What is my next step?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to do it? God, I'm going to let you lead. It's like, okay, my life's taken center stage more, and I have things that I have to do with different people and serve others. And it's like, the book will be what it is, and God will tell me what I need to do. Yeah. I just have to listen and prayer and take everything to Him.
Yeah.
And it really is a disciplined practice. It
yeah.
really is. And it's hard. I mean,
yeah,
it's easy
because our mind
kind of
seems to, you know, go off in its own tangents and get wrapped up in stuff. And even as, like, a student, I find myself, like, why do I even have anxiety about school? If I was just at school to learn for the sake of learning, there wouldn't be anxiety because I wouldn't be striving towards academic validation.
Yeah, you wouldn't be trying to prove yourself with test
right?
scores.
Yeah.
It's like, it is what it is. I got this test day. Get good or right in. It's like, it doesn't matter. But wait, that's tied to my self-worth. That means I'm not smart.
That means I'm focusing on myself and I'm giving myself my own, like, my own anxiety. When God calls us, number one, not to have anxiety, but then also to focus on Him fully and completely alongside serving and loving others. And so it's like, there's really no room for my own anxiety, if that makes sense, in, like, my everyday life. It should be about Him and honoring Him and glorifying Him.
Well, and that's perfect, and that's beautiful, because, right, when you expend all your energies on your own anxieties, I should be doing, what's wrong with me, I want this, I don't match up, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of energy. You spend it. It's like, you only get so much, each of us only get so much energy in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost self-sabotage, because then what the powerful things, when you get to God and, like, His mission and His purpose and His things, it's
then
like,
you're like, I'm tired.
Dude, I'm too tired. And even, like, I've been praying for the Holy Spirit to guide me to do some things for, like, I'm in this discipleship group. And it's like, I just want the Holy Spirit to just show me where He wants me to move and what people He wants me to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got as plain as day, these people. But it's like, then I argued with the Holy Spirit. I don't have time. I have to do this. We're going on a trip. I have to pack. And I'm like, what am I doing arguing with the Holy Spirit? I prayed for this. It's like, zip it, Kelly. Stay focused. But no.
You caused your own anxiety.
I did. I'm bringing my anxiety in and making up all these excuses. And, like, you and your wise word said, hey, Mom, God will give you the time and the resources to do what you need to do for this person.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit laid it upon
your
heart to do this. And you asked Him. And you're absolutely right. And then I can let it go and let God. And honestly, things fall into place. Life is amazing. It's beautiful. It's like, it's why we are doing this podcast, actually, just to share with you. It's like, no, when you really can focus on God, your whole life changes and it becomes so much easier.
Yeah. I mean, okay, anxiety is so stupid, okay? If we're looking, I was in a, I'm in a Bible study and I can't, we were studying Jonah and the, it's funny because I haven't, like, sat down and, like, read the book of Jonah, but it just relates to this. But oftentimes when we have anxiety and we're scared and we go against God, we're going to cause even more anxiety. Like, looking at Jonah, God was like, hey, Jonah, you're going to Nineveh, which Nineveh needed God. They were struggling and having problems. And so God was like, Jonah, go to Nineveh and, you know, serve them. And Jonah was like, no. He was scared, and he ran away.
Anxiety, right?
Yep.
He got worried. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I'm gonna get killed. It's like,
and then my man, he goes over. He's like, nope, God, I'm running away. And then he meets these sailors, and there's a big storm, and they the pagan sailors, they throw him overboard, and he gets eaten by a whale. So I think he definitely caused his anxiety, and so when it's just such a great example. I find it humorous because I can see it in my own life where I'm like, God, I don't really want to do that. And then I cause myself own trouble and more anxiety.
Phew. So I'm glad that my arguing, because I'm feeling bad. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm arguing with the Holy Spirit. What am I doing? It's like, am I like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
But it's like,
but no,
in the Bible over and over
happening.
Again. It's fear, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm not the only one who's like, I prayed for this, but I'm not liking what you're saying, so.
And God's plan always works out because Jonah had ended up going to Nineveh anyway, where he was sent. He could have avoided being eaten by a whale, but he decided not to listen at first.
And what I love about that story, Scott didn't change his mind.
Nope.
He knew exactly what he wanted.
Yep.
Of
Jonah.
Jonah, yes. Of Jonah. He knew exactly what Jonah could do, and he wasn't worried about it at all. And so even though we rebel, it's like, God just waits.
He just watches us.
He watches and chuckles and probably laughs a lot. Oh, you children. It's like, even having your own children, when you know, like, they're fussing about something that you know mm-hmm. it's easy or it's really good for them, and then they figure it out, and it's like, even something as simple, my son went tennis. Like, I don't want tennis. Oh, he was, like, just anxiety about tennis. Went to tennis. Like, Mom, I love tennis. I was like, it was so fun. I could play it every day. And it's like, I think it's like God up there, you know? It's like, okay, you're pushing your children. It's like, you know, this is good for them, even though they're like, no, 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 no. And then it feels really good when they come around and you can see that they have good things.
Yeah, that is really cool. But guys, anxiety just needs to be released in God's hand, because he calls us not to.
Yep, and then we need to get out of our own thoughts in our own head.
Yep.
And really, like, with truly the Holy Spirit.
Love God with all your heart.
Yeah,
with
and that's
everything.
Yep, and that's following him and doing what he says.
Yep.
We can argue and we can get our thoughts out, like Jonah and myself, and say, hey, you know what? I don't have time. I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. But then when it comes, really, when we put all our trust in him, we do what he says.
Yeah.
There's really no ifs, ands, or buts. We can throw a little fit, but life's much easier if we just throw just a baby, tiny little fit or no fit at all, and then go along with it.
Yeah. But honestly, like, God just wants, the way that we release our anxiety to him is to give it to him, to allow him to work through us and to give everything to him, so then we can serve him and love him.
Amen. And that is the superpower in anxiety relief.
Mm-hmm.
God giving it all to him. Not easily done, but when you do it, your life will change. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So,
I got one last verse that I kind of want to close us out with and pray over you guys with. But it's 2 Timothy 1:7, and we talked about this last week. And it says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control.
Amen. And the reason why we love this verse, and the reason why we want to keep pulling it out, because it tells us what God gave us. The first is power. We have power in this life, especially, I think, now and throughout history. Rulers and, well, just people. It doesn't have to be real. Anybody. Can make us feel powerless, like we don't have power. We always have power. We have God's power, and with God, anything's possible. But so we have immense power. So always remember, we have power, and we have God's love, and we need to practice the discipline of self-control so that we can put it together for God's use.
Yeah. Because with him, anything is possible.
Amen.
And this is what he's given us, and to really embrace that and to take that on as our identity as children of God is going to be really powerful, and it's going to help us to overcome fear. And when we start to feel fear, to be reminded that we do have power, love, and self-control.
Amen.
So let me pray for you guys, and then you guys can get going. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reminding us of who you are and of the identity that you have bestowed upon us as children of God, that we don't have to live in fear, and that you never called us to fear, and that fear is the enemy. Fear is something the enemy wants to use against us.
Absolutely. And
we don't want anything to do with him.
Nope.
Lord, help us to trample on the enemy, to stand in power, love, and self-control, taking on an identity of who you are.
Yes.
God, I ask that as we go out through this week, that we are reminded of who you are and the greatness that you have already accomplished, that we don't need to fear. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us during this week and throughout our lives to just lean on you, to be reminded of who you have called us to be. I pray that we are just able to give all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength to you, as this is what you've commanded us to do.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for this time. We just praise you, and we love you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that fiery prayer to get us all supercharged. focusing on God. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks. Signing off in faith and love, Kelly.
And Jaina.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you are looking for more daily inspiration, go follow us on Instagram. We created an Instagram page and it's called faithfully_apologetic. So go there and give us a follow and a like and comment.
And you'll find inspiration, words of wisdom, and we're sharing God's love and word.
In faith and love.
Kelly.
And Jaina. Bye.